This is the most stacked lineup we've ever assembled for the most credible, informed, and entertaining deadline show anywhere.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome into a very special Moncton Wildcast podcast. It's a trade deadline show. I'm here, as always, joined by Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How are you doing?
Shout out to one of those sound effects there, like TSN. Da-da-da,
that's what I'm hoping to get that. Wait, we're all Rogers. We probably shouldn't use TSN, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That it's is just a so convenient. Very good point. This is...
Starting off on a roll.
Yeah.
All right. And, of course, we're joined in studio by a special guest from the St. John Sea Dogs and Station Nation, Jamie Tozer. How are you?
I'm very good. Happy to be here.
That's awesome. And now on the phone, we're going to go to a couple studs from the Halifax Herdcast, stud sophomore defenseman Jordan Peckham, and from the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles, Pat McNeil. Jordan, Patrick, how are you?
Good. Good, guys. Good.
Welcome to the Maritime Division Media Roundtable. Good to have you.
Good to be here. Good to be had.
So we'll start with you, Mr. Peckham. Since you're new to the crew, you're the rookie in this group. What's going on in Moosehead's land?
She's downhill. Big time downhill. And I don't know. I think going into the year, everybody knew this had to happen. Regardless, we had no picks left, so. It just doesn't make it any easier to swallow, especially if a couple of our guys end up in Moncton, because that really sucks.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah, we'll send you guys a couple t-shirts down, and we'll send you guys two of those Beat Halifax t-shirts, and we'll put the Grew on the back, and we'll put McIsaac on the other one, so you can kind of you're balancing each other, you're balancing out there.
Yeah, if you could put one of those shirts on Zachary LaRue and then send him down in it, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we're hoping doesn't happen. But first half, yeah. How's it? Has it played out kind of like you guys thought it would in terms of the team that's been on the ice?
Yeah, I kind of thought we'd probably be a little bit better than where we're at right now. I mean, missing McIsaac all year is clearly a huge blow to the team, but. Yeah, I guess more or less it's kind of played out to where we thought it would be. We were definitely just a one-line team, and that one line might have been one of the best in the queue, but, I mean, you guys know one line's not going to take you through.
Was that a shot at us or what?
No.
Are you trying to say we're a one-line team?
No, you guys are definitely deeper than that. I can't make fun of you this year. I just can't do it. It's not working, right?
Oh, because we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum this year. It's you guys had our number last year, and you know, we're finally starting to get some wins. Not only in Halifax, but here in Moncton too.
Yeah, you guys are racking them up big time. You got a good team.
Well, we hope it continues, especially when we get two of your guys. And but yeah, you guys are gonna like that what you're getting. It's gonna be a late Christmas present for sure in terms of. Draft picks and
a nice summer bonus,
future considerations.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to be in good shape out of it.
Those future considerations trades don't happen in the queue. What are you guys talking about? These trades,
I almost forgot Pat was on the line.
I know. I was going to say, speaking of teams that were kind of rumored to be a buyer, Cape Breton's awfully silent. Is it a case of just waiting for the dust to settle in the first weekend or what?
Well, we have technically entered the buying category with Xavier Bouchard, but Jack Harrier's been honest with the fact this team is not going to be heavily buying, so we're kind of sitting in the middle and trying to move up a little bit, I guess. Bouchard should improve the defense. Alex Fallardo is a bit of a project, I think, at this point, so the roster doesn't take a hit in the short term. It'll be an improvement on the back end, and obviously Adam McCormick's been out for a little while, so the defense should be shored up nicely with those two in the lineup. You know, on paper, I don't think it's a team that's stacking up with the other teams based on the moves that have been made, but anything could happen, I guess, in one game or a series, and we'll see how it plays out. But also, too, like you said, there's still time left in the trading period, so still probably some guys to be moved. I mean, Bakemo is probably not done selling, so that's one case of a team that's probably still going to put some assets out on the market. Where they end up, well, we'll have to wait and see.
So just like we asked Jordan, just your first half, how do you assess – how it's gone? Are you guys where you thought you'd be after 34 some games?
A bit up and down. I would say we're not where we thought we would be after 3-4 games based on how we were in the first 17. Part of that's a bit of an excuse given that that was common for a lot of teams in the queue this year.
Right.
Obviously, it's a learning curve with not just a new head coach, but two new assistants as well. A lot of other things going on, obviously, a lot of new office staff, new name, new jerseys and whatnot. So I think this team, you know, obviously it's a bit difficult being in this conference too. But I don't think if you look at the players individually, I don't think there's anybody you can signal out as being a huge disappointment or anything. And, you know, there's obviously been some progress on some fronts. And, you know, Ryan Francis and Igor Sokolov have been tremendous to name two players. You know, this is probably about where we should be.
Pat, what's going to be considered a success for this season? A long playoff run, or what's going on down there?
Well, I would think if you're trading, obviously you have aspirations on some success. Although with Bouchard, he's not signed yet, so I would think the team expects him to be back and probably would get something back in the trade if he doesn't come back at 20. So there is that factor, but where the teams sit now, you've got your five strong teams in the Eastern Conference. If you make any move to improve, you're kind of signaling that you at least expect to get into the first round,
yeah,
and you want to give yourself a puncher's chance in the second round. So I think realistically speaking, you know, the team would be pretty disappointed if it's the other team, which we don't want to wish, obviously, then you give yourself a chance to go into the third round. But given the one deal we've seen so far, it's both for this year and last year, both this year and next year, sorry. So I think right now he's with a chance to get into the third round, but you know it's going to be tough based on this conference.
Yeah,
I'll go to Jordan with this one. You guys you're unloading. Obviously, you moved Patty Kite, you moved Walter Flower, now Trepanier. So all your 20-year-olds are gone. You're bringing in Denny Toner. I mean, you still got two open spots for 20s. What are you or who are you expecting to fill in those spots? And any players around the league that would pique your interest?
You know what? Not really. I almost expect both of them to be more or less. I wouldn't be surprised if they're both free agents. Another one of them needs to be a defenseman. I would say I'd want another 20-year-old defenseman if we could get one. I'm sure there's a couple players around the league that would fit well. I would guess one of them at least is going to be a free agent, but I almost feel like I'm just deflated at this point.
Oh, well, that's never fun. But now that I have actually both you guys on the line, Jordan, your goaltenders have been a question of will they be dealt? Won't they be dealt? Pat, you talked about this team maybe making some moves. Do you guys see a nice goaltender swap between the two Nova Scotia teams?
I'll start on this one, I guess. That's been rumored by a lot of people. I don't really necessarily see it. The big thing with Gravel that he has going for him was I think he turned it on in the playoffs of the Memorial. And even you would think a backup goaltender shouldering the load would get tired, but he actually got better as that stretch went on. So, obviously your goaltending could be better, but I don't think that other areas...
Yeah, I don't think that would be in your best interest to do that goalie swap. I don't. Gravel is inconsistent at best. He steps up in big games, but I think where you guys are at right now with your goaltending, that wouldn't be. Like you said, you hear it from a lot of people, but I don't see. And I told you he would go somewhere, and then you said that he probably won't. I think you're probably right. I think he stays. I don't think there'd be any interest.
If I were to see any goalies move between, you got McLaren going there, who's a reliable backup, can go and play any situation. And then Grimard, I think he's an 0-1, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
An 18-year-old, going to Halifax, and, he can, Gravel will likely not be back next year. And that will then lead, hopefully maybe Grimard as the number one. In Halifax, so it's a scenario that I've kind of been running through my head a couple times. It's what do you guys think of that? A backup goalie flip?
I think in one of the things I said that if I saw Gravel going anywhere, it's a team like Val-d'Or that's just on the precipice that the division really isn't competitive. And if you look at the Western Conference, they're only 4 points out of second place. Like they could use Gravel to push, but what do you guys think?
An overage spot, maybe, but I would think the reason you've kept Grimard behind Mandalise is that the Eagles were
a surefire top end team. I think the Grimmar McLaren move makes more sense then, but this is kind of a team buying to be a dark horse. So great to pick up for somebody, especially you look at Halifax, they had their prime assets. You knew they were going to move. They knew they were going to move the three world junior guys and probably Trapani as well. When they started moving Flower and Kite, that was like, okay, we're moving secondary assets as well. This is a 2017 Moncton Wildcats-esque rebuild. So seeing them trade their backup goaltender for an asset's not out of the question. I just don't see it being the Eagles, but it's possible they could shop both Ravel and McLaren, and maybe we'll see it by the end of the trading period.
We're not supposed to reference the second half of that season. I do it every week, and I've tried to stop, and there you go, Pat. You just brought it back onto the show. Good job.
Well, I guess if you're a Wildcats fan, you look at the team now, they may have built a contender off that. It just shows you how quickly you can go from bottom to top in the league.
From dust to diamonds, as Neil Hodge says.
All right, well, don't want to take up too much of your time. So, Jordan, thanks for joining the roundtable. Pat, pleasure as always.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks for having me as well. And Jordan, anytime you want me to hop on the Herdcast, that's also available as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When is the Herdcast coming back?
John wants to do one over Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Once the trades make it announced, we'll have some stuff going. But
perfect. Can't wait for it.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well, that was interesting. Before we get into Charlottetown and Bathurst, just your guys' thoughts on what they said and goaltending and maybe the Eagles not really being a buyer?
I think the Eagles would be aggressive. There's a difference between, you know, going all in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hashtag right now, all in Eagles. But I don't see them going all in. I just see them being aggressive.
Right.
You know, just picking up pieces that, you know, filling some voids and, you know, hopefully going as far as they can, because it's, you know, an organization that still hasn't won a championship. I don't have they made a finals yet? Have they made it to the finals
so.
Yet?
I don't know.
So they're struggling, and I think they really need it as a team. I think their fans deserve it, and I think if this is the year, you know, this is the year to do it.
Yeah.
And if it's not, well, so be it. There's going to be other years, but they're set up nicely.
I'm kind of surprised by the Eagles' moves, honestly. Like, I thought that this is kind of classic Cape Breton. Like, we've seen them do this over and over and over again, and I really thought that this new owner was going to kind of change the culture a lot. I thought we were going to maybe finally see the Eagles tear this down completely and start over and do a St. John or Halifax style rebuild, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
All right, well, let's move on to Charlottetown and Bathurst. We'll bring on Mr. Aiden Northcutt and Briar McPherson. How are you guys?
Not too bad. How's it going?
Good. Briar?
I'm good.
You awake? You alive?
yeah.
All right, good. We'll start with you. So you guys are in the thrones of a rebuild, obviously. I mean, Jeremy's the one that picks you to make the playoffs. Not a whole lot of movement out that you would assume with Element and guys like that. Just give us your thoughts on the first half and what you kind of see for this deadline.
Yeah, honestly, for me, the first half is a little bit disappointing. Obviously, you know, we, at least inside the organization, we thought that we're going to be a little bit better than we are, at least. I don't know. I would say on paper we have more talent than what we've displayed.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not everybody's performed up to expectations, I guess. That's kind of has a – or likely will have a direct effect on our trade period, because my understanding was that guys like DeGagne, Leonard, you know, we're all expected to produce more than they have and hopefully raise their values. And obviously that doesn't happen. So Sylvain doesn't really have too many pieces to work with. So I guess that's why we've been quiet up until now.
So is it maybe a rebuild within a rebuild to move some guys out and get some maybe younger, more talented pieces that can maybe come in and contribute, or is it stay the course with the guys you have?
Hard to say right now. I know, like with Element, gotten a lot of calls, and
you personally got a lot of calls. Impressive.
No.
So bad, everybody knows Eddie is the real GM of the
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But no, just today alone, like, from my office, I can pretty much, you know, hear Sylvain's phone. So it literally never stopped ringing all day. So he's busy, but nothing really happening right now, I guess.
I would have to assume that one of those teams calling is Charlottetown, who likely, I would have to say, is one of the most active teams at the deadline, Aiden?
Well, I mean, who would have thought at this point that it would have been us being the most active team of the teams kind of involved in the trade period so far? It's been a pretty busy one over here for sure.
I mean, getting back to that trade, that Fortin for Drew Elliott trade, what do you expect Drew Elliott to bring into the lineup? Because I mean, I watched him with the St. John Vitos, and I'm fairly familiar with him. So, for any Islanders fans who happen to listen to the number one podcast here in the Maritime Division, what should your fans expect from Drew Elliott?
Well, first and foremost, I think the deal kind of caught a lot of fans off guard.
I can agree with that. Yep.
It was definitely not, it kind of came out of left field. Fortin's been having a fairly quietly good 17-year-old season. He made the team a 16-year-old, surprised a lot of people there. One of the things when you watch Fortin play, the puck just sticks to him. Like, he's one of those guys that you're just going to, like, watching, and next thing you know, like, the Islanders have controlled the play for the last 15 seconds, and the puck hasn't left Fortin's stick. He's one of those kind of players. I think Bacon will be really happy with him. With that being said, I think the move kind of aligns a little bit better with the plans in terms of building towards Lucas Cormier's 19-year-old season. If you think of it that way, that's kind of been this arbitrary go for it year, if you will. You've got, you know, your best player at his absolute best before he, in a perfect world, moves on to the pros, and what's likely going to happen. So in terms of Drew Elliott, I haven't seen him very much play, obviously. I know I've heard from some people who have basically said, and one of them's on this podcast right now, Breyer, who is like, you guys are going to love Drew Elliott. And anybody that I talked to that has been familiar with him has said, like, this is a Jim Holton type player. Like, he plays the full 200-foot game. He's got speed. He's got skill. He is still 16 years old, so there is a learning development curve that comes with being a major junior player and one of the youngest major junior players in the league. But overall, I think fans are going to be really happy with the style of play. The name Jim Holton threw out right away, and I think it's not a name he throws out lightly, is Keith Getzen. He's going to be one of those type of long-term junior hockey, major junior players here. So I'm very interested and really intrigued to see him in action.
Aiden, I asked Pat the same question, and you and the Eagles are kind of in the same type of team where you're middle of the pack, adding pieces, but not really going all in.
Yes.
So what does a successful season going to look like for you guys? Where do you kind of think this team's going to end up?
Well, I think for this, for us, like, first and foremost, our first half was, the team was very happy with it. We battled a lot of injuries, a lot of key injuries. That was obviously, you know, excuse me, Keith Alexandrov and Lucas Cormier out for both over a month. That wears on a team pretty hard, especially a team that doesn't have much offense. But on top of that, we had the heaviest schedule in the league to this point. We played three of our four Quebec road trips. We've played more games than any other team right now. I think we're sitting at 36 games played. Going into what's, I guess, technically the second half of the season. But overall, everyone is really happy with how everything looks right now. And I think success is just going to be continuing on the path. We're getting Nikita Alexandrov back after the second half of the season. We're getting Gaetan Joban back as well. They'll both be coming back from World Junior Camps and the World Junior Championships. So everything right now, I think this looks like success to us, is playing in that top half of the year with a team, a young team as well. We're now going to be going in with 4 16-year-olds in the lineup on a night out basis.
So just to piggyback off Jamie's question, with 73 playing so well all the time, like I've said it many times, the puck finds him. It's unbelievable. Is there you're building towards Cormier's 19 years. Is there a chance with some of these moves that you brought in that maybe you it's kind of an all-in year, like, to a point, like, this is the year to make it. Let's be as active as we can, getting the right guys, Jim Holton guys, and go for it with Matt playing just lights out exceptional?
I think I don't think so. I think that and that as much as, it, I don't know, it might be cliche to say it, like, that's thinking with your heart, not necessarily with your head.
Yep.
I would love to see Matt Welsh hoist the Mem Cup and do it with a team that's pretty stacked. But the tough part is that we've been kind of making a lot of lateral moves since the 16-17 season still, in that we went all in that year and got the third round to show for it, but we were still restocking the cupboards. But as we were restocking the cupboards, we were still competitive. So Jim kind of kept making these little moves and moves that were very necessary and I think the right moves overall, but we're still kind of still recovering from that. And I think right now, if we went for it this year, we wouldn't have the assets that we would want and need to make moves. So
right.
It's tough. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, again, it's just kind of it is thinking with your heart as opposed to your head.
As long as 73 is in the net, you got a shot in a 7-game series, though, right?
And that's it. Like, he is. Well, actually, we saw it this weekend. He was, you know, he shut out the Mooseheads on a teddy bear toss night. Granted, it's not a full strength Moosehead team by any means, but he was. That was Matt Welsh. And then on Saturday night against Cape Breton, that was, like to me, like that was Matthew Welsh. That was the goalie that we see that's going to steal you a game on a night-in, night-out basis.
Aiden, I want to ask you a question just in regards to a former Islander that's headed our way here in Moncton, Dakota Lund-Cornish. Just for those who may not be familiar with him, what should we expect from him as coming in as the new backup here in Moncton?
With Dakota Lund-Cornish, he's the backup that I think Moncton needs. Experienced, great guy in the locker room. Like, I think the quote of this year, last year, was our associate coach Guy Girard saying to the Guardian when the trade was made, he's the guy you want your daughter to marry. And we all laughed because Guy has two daughters. He's a fantastic guy in the locker room, fantastic community guy as well, and can't say enough good things about him. From a goaltending perspective, put a good team in front of him, and he will succeed. He's the kind of goalie that he will come out of nowhere to just be like, where did that performance come from? And then, he'll be stopping 50 shots on a game. He's that kind of goalie. He's not gonna step in and challenge Red Reed for starts, but he's going to be a capable, quality, dependable backup.
That's perfect, and he's going to get his feet thrown right into the fire in the first game back from the holidays.
Yeah,
Charlottetown takes on Moncton. So, just last one for Breyer. What's a successful season for you guys going forward? Is it trying to make the playoffs, or is it just getting better with this group?
I think we're still going to try to make the playoffs. Post game, Mario says, I'm still trying to prepare these guys for the playoffs, but it's going to be tough, obviously,
mm-hmm.
with the roster we currently have. But I don't know. I'll say that, a successful season for us maybe would try to at least be able to move out of the 18th spot, just where we've improved a little bit since the start of the season. And the Gatineau seems to be going downward, so
if Gatineau's going the way they're going, Briar, I don't think you have much of a worry about that. That's somehow finding a way to trend downward.
I'd say that's
if Eddie has anything to do with it.
And, Quebec seems to be, getting rid of some guys too. And, Brian, you guys are only, you're 11 points from Quebec. So, I mean, it's realistic, right? You get past Gatineau, you get past Quebec, you're in a playoff spot. That's 5 wins.
Yeah.
Right? It's 6 wins, really, if you want to look at it mathematically.
Have you played Quebec yet?
Yeah, we played them 2 weeks ago.
Did you beat them?
No.
8-5. All right. Well, got an old school.
All right. Still five wins away. I was hoping that it was going to be a little less chasing them, but
no, it's like I said earlier in the year, Breyer, I made a prediction you guys would make the playoffs, and then that was right after you beat Moncton, and then you went on that little roll. I think you guys got three wins in a row or something, like points in four or five straight. You just have to go on something like a little roll like that, and you're right back in the picture. It's easy, man. Keep your head up. Also, please trade a strong element for a fifth round draft pick.
And or the puppy, one of the two. All right, guys, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I really appreciate you joining the media roundtable again.
Not a problem. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
We'll probably do something a little, figure this whole thing out, and we'll have everyone at once and do something before the playoffs for sure.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, Breyer's Breyer. He's kind of quiet, like his team, and Aiden is he's good. He's good for a quote. I mean, they're busy. He's a busy, busy man.
Poor Breyer. Man, poor Breyer, man. I understand, because we've been through it here in Moncton.
You have.
Yeah, you haven't. You don't know what it's like.
Not yet. It's coming.
Yeah. We're about probably
7 months away from
nine months away. Well, a year away from that. So, yeah, it's I know Bathurst is they've got a plan, right? Yeah. It's clearly a very a plan that's taking a little longer than they probably would have hoped. I think this is year two, and there has been much of an improvement. Like they should be, when you start year one of the rebuild, you're expected to be last in the league. You're in second year right now when it's. They're still last in the league.
You're not expected to start 0-17.
Yeah.
So
there should be some sort of improvement there. Obviously, they're going to be trading away some pieces. So the second half is probably not going to go very well. With some of the teams, selling pieces, like I mentioned, Quebec, they're clearly have their mindset on winning this lottery, and they know who they're going to take, and I think that's their goal, is winning the lottery, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that happens, whether it be just tank, just don't even show up to games. I don't know what. But,
true.
So that's one way to tank, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think if there's two teams that are going to take a massive drop in the second half, it's Halifax is one of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Halifax, I'm not going to say they're going to go on a 23-game losing streak or whatever it was that Moncton experienced 3 years ago, but they're going to have a rough second half.
Yeah.
Right? And it's their fans will still go to the game. Somehow they'll still manage 8,000 fans a game at the Scotiabank Arena. Yeah. Center.
Shout out Scotiabank.
So many of them.
Yeah, so there's a few teams. Halifax not going to drop that far, but they'll go down some spots, and I think it's if Bathurst can put together some wins, they can sneak into the playoffs and make me be like a genius,
which is always good. But I think we'll finally bring you into the conversation. Yeah. I think Halifax will be worse than St. John. I think they fall.
I 100%. I will be quite surprised if the Sea Dogs don't end up ahead of Halifax in the overall standings by the end of the year.
So we brought you in, A, for your Sea Dogs knowledge, B, because, you're covering the Wildcats too, it seems, on CBC. Yeah.
It's my second beat.
Yeah, second beat. Avenue and Station Nation, but hashtag we own that. Just one trade for St. John.
Yeah.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago when you were on. New coach, just one deal. Are you expecting more? Were you surprised a 20 for a 20 and some of the picks that were moved?
I wasn't that surprised to see the swap. I was a little surprised to see how much other things were attached to it. It was a pretty significant trade considering what we kind of thought was just going to be a swap for a 20 for a 20. A lot of other pieces involved and a lot of pieces that, by the sounds of it, won't really be settled until the draft this summer.
Right.
But I don't see St. John making a lot of other moves. And if they do, I think they'll be probably pretty minor. I would personally like to see them try and acquire kind of an older defenseman on the cheap that can kind of play some minutes, be a shutdown guy, and help some of the younger guys defensively. But I don't think that's going
to
happen.
So we talked to you a couple weeks ago on what was the success for this team. So you've asked the question to basically everybody. So, you know, in terms to you, what is success for St. John with only one trade left and, you know, early on in the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think, making the playoffs, obviously, but I think they're pretty much a lock to make the playoffs. So I think if they can hover around 500 most of the year, I think finishing with a winning record would be a success. And I really think this team, listening to Trevor talk quite a few times about what the success is this season, this team really wants to have a first-round series that they have, maybe not necessarily a shot at winning, but at least a competitive first-round series that they can have a chance of winning. I mean, mm-hmm. they're probably going to play a hard team. They're going to be an underdog in that series, but at least win a few games and give this young group some of that experience.
Well, with that, I mean, if the season started today or ended today, they'd be playing Rimouski.
Yeah, that's not ideal. Boutillier will probably face about 60 shots in that series per game. So,
but you can always go and pick up, Dylan Seitz is a free agent right now. Just pick him up and throw
shut
him on.
Shut down Lafleur.
Yeah, shut down Lafleur in the air. And you're game, set, match. You guys are on round two?
Yeah. And honestly, that's kind of not a bad idea. Like looking at free agents, looking at some of the cheaper guys that are out on the market. But this team is dead set on giving these guys minutes and giving these guys.
We have Seitz's number if you need it.
Oh, that's great.
He's at UNB, right? Yeah. You know, can you just take his courses online and go play in St. John?
I don't know if that what I just said was tampering, but if it is, I'll cut that out. So obviously, Jeremy, with me playing host, Moncton made a couple moves.
We did?
Yeah, we sure did. Alexander Perrant sent to Baie-Comeau for Dakota Lund-Cornish, along with a fifth round. We sent a fifth round 2022. And then to the shock of everyone after back-to-back shutouts, good foot soldier, great goaltender, Lavallée, great when he was in, round sent to Shawinigan. Huh?
That's what she said.
Nice. Sent to Shawinigan for a third and a fourth. Just your thoughts.
I'll be honest. Terrible return.
Really?
Terrible return.
Okay.
Wasn't
I saw that a lot, and I just wonder, we took him in the third. We at least got a third.
No, I wasn't happy with it.
Okay.
I'll be blunt with that.
That's what we're here for, to be honest.
Yeah. I was hoping for, we took him in the fourth round. I understand getting the fourth round back, but he is a promising goaltender. And he proved it the past two games. What I've been basically hammering into the microphone for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He proved it over those last two games. And, I'm not going to go and say he's worth a first round pick, right? He's not.
Yeah. No.
But I would have liked to see that third to be a second instead. I think that would have been a realistic return. Not going to say we got shafted. But
no, because I've argued a little bit with some people. You can only trade him for what's out there. And if there were no seconds out there, I mean, this could have been the best. I mean, there could have been another deal where it was a fourth and a fifth.
Right.
And this, I'm more shocked that it was Shawinigan than...
That was a shock,
right?
But...
Because they got now the two top goaltenders from the 2017 draft.
Yeah. But this is good for Lavallée, too. It's his draft year, and he's going to be able to go to Shawinigan and share the load with Coulombe. So this is going to get him more exposure. You know, they just released the top prospects game rosters today. He's not on it. Dinois is not on it. I understand. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it was coming. I knew the trade was probably going to happen. I understand he asked for a trade, so... that's, when a player asks for a trade, you want to do your best to reward it, right? Because if not, you're not too sure how his confidence is going to be in the second half.
Yeah.
And, if we're a team like Moncton, you want to have, all the players on the top of their games.
Yeah. And it's the business side of the year that it is, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst part, too.
And when you ask for a trade, you know, the big myth about this on the hot cap operation side is that it lowers your value. So that could have played a part in the return. But I still think, you know, we should have got at least a second and a fourth. I even would have been happy with a second and a fifth. I just think the second round pick would have been, you know, it should have been a second round pick. And so that's it. Like, I'm sure, you know, there's a plan, right? Obviously, these picks, we don't own them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no,
right?
For sure.
So that's, you have to look at it first. When a trade like that is made, you're probably going to be flipping these picks anyway.
Yeah.
So will that be part of the rumored Halifax trade? Also confirmed.
Officially unofficial.
Right. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. That's going to be a astronomical trade, one that's probably going to go down as one of the bigger trades in Wildcats history. I can't think of one that's been bigger. When you get names like Bo Grew and Jared McIsaac, and
we basically will have the top three picks.
We're gonna have the top three picks from the 2016 Q draft. Yeah. The top goalie, top defenseman, top forward. I mean, that's how you build championship teams, right? The best of the best.
Yep.
And that's what we're going for.
So is there a name that you guys are surprised hasn't moved? Like a Forche, a Bergeron, Element. Like, these are kind of high names. Even, I mean, we talked to Jordan a little bit, Gravel, McLaren. Like, is there a name that's, like, is it just teams kind of waiting to see the first wave of high prices being paid? And now we'll see that second wave this weekend, or is there a name that you guys think that? Because for me, it's Forche.
Well, I think you nailed it with all the names. To be honest, like, it obviously they can't wait because the biggest trade will be the ones that happen after the World Juniors.
Yeah.
I don't think Bathurst will want to hang on to Element until that point. I don't think Pecoma will do the same about Forche. I think these guys are going to want to get rid of them, and I say rid of them in a nice way.
Asset management, rid of them.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand where these teams would like to see what a Raphael Lavoie trade to Chicoutimi would look like, or what a Benoit Olivier Grew and Jared McIsaac trade to Moncton would look like. But at the same time, right, they're going to want to make these trades.
It's kind of like last year with the Noah Dobson. Everybody knew he was going
to
get moved. It was just,
yeah,
as I saw you, one of your tweets last year, just click and refresh for,
yeah, and that's
for the update. That's all we're waiting for on whenever Canada gets eliminated, right?
That's it. Yeah. I mean, last year they crapped the bed. So thanks to Noah Dobson's stick. So yeah, that's, we just have to wait.
Yep.
We'll have to wait till January 6th, 7th, whenever it may be. And, yeah, I think it's January 6th. We'll have a nice roster on paper. What happens from here on out, it's we'll see. You know, we're going to have a good team. You know, I remember those 1 week ago, those fans were like, this team is it's done, man.
It's
we're going backwards.
The wheels have fallen off.
The wheels have fallen. We're done. We should sell.
I love your.
It's over.
I love your voice of public opinion.
it's just so ridiculous how people are so dramatic.
Yeah.
And I mean,
they
like
sure
that.
Look
it's
like
that everywhere. Though.
Wait 48 hours, right?
Yeah, like
you got it rolled off two wins, and it's like, oh, whoa.
Two convincing wins.
Yeah. Three wins, wasn't it? We lost in St. John.
Barely.
Right, my bad.
Barely. I mean, you could have easily won that
game.
Yeah,
that was a slaughtering on Boutillier, but you know,
sometimes
run into a hot goalie, and that was exhibit A, really.
What about you? Are there names that you haven't?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly. Yeah. I feel like this is kind of usually the quieter time of the trade period, because I think like around Christmas, see teams just kind of take a break. And you kind of see that big jump at the beginning and then the big jump at the end. So I don't know. I feel like this might be kind of the quiet until after, closer to New Year's, maybe we might see some action. And then obviously, after the World Juniors, we'll see a lot more.
So Rimouski, obviously we're in a desperate situation losing Zav Grodny and Neil Hodge was on the game against Bathurst and said, you know, they have to add a ton. They've added Gay. They've added Coxhead. They've added Flower. What more are they going to do? Because he was on the show and he's like, they could go one of two ways. They could, you know, trade Lafreniere and the city burns, or they just in a desperate situation start moving guys and trying to acquire from having the least amount of assets. So just your thoughts on their moves, I guess, since they're the one of the five teams that are buying.
I'm going to make a bold statement right now. I would honestly rather be in the Tetons position than the Oceanics position. Yeah. Like, I do not envy the Oceanic at all because they have pretty much a generational talent that they kind of have no choice but to surround other talent with, and they don't have a lot to work with.
And I think Jeremy and I talked about it a while ago. Be great to add a player like that if they ever traded, like what you'd have to give up to get him, but
yeah,
they're forced to go in with limited. I mean, they have a first round now that they can flip for someone, right? Which would probably be a defenseman, maybe some second line. They have one line. They had Nicholas Gay, which helps them on the second line. But for being a top five buyer, they're kind of the fifth out of five, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
There's talks of him of Gab Fortier going to Rimouski. There's talks of, you know, Sean Element. It's either going to be Moncton or Rimouski.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at this point you're kind of waiting. You're waiting for those dominoes to fall. And I think once we see an Element trade, because, you know, Fortier is worth more than Element. So
is that what it is? It's the second wave that we're waiting for the first domino, the second wave to fall?
Well, I think yeah, because I mean I think Baycomo's waiting for Bathurst to trade Element so they can kind of get their Fortier value
right.
Yeah. More than that. But they're different players, right? So their values are going to be different to begin with. Fortier is going to be like a speedy, skilled, you know, top line winger. Element's going to be a second or third line, you know, 200 foot forward kind of thing. So they're different players, but I think they're kind of waiting for one of them to fall. That's when the next wave will fall. There is a holiday freeze, I think, that's from Christmas Eve until Boxing Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
So that's a holiday freeze where there's no trades.
Yeah. I think the NHL does that too.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, yeah, probably going to, you might see a trade or two in the next day or two, and then,
but more of a depth thing. We're not going to see anything.
I don't think you're going to see anything astronomical in the next couple of days.
So these rumored deals that, like, you know, the Halifax Moncton unofficially official deal. Do all the GMs know what Cam Russell has acquired, or is it like, do GMs know when they're like, if someone phones Cam Russell and he's got X pick from Moncton? Do other GMs know that, or is it all the two teams keep it kind of hush-hush as much as they can, do you think?
Can I phone a friend?
Like, yeah, you can phone whatever friend you want.
Get Richie Tebow on the line.
Well, yeah. I'm sure he'd love to take your call now.
Richie, we're live. What's going on, bud?
Yeah.
I honestly have no idea.
I've just always wondered if other GMs know what these rumored trades are.
If you're a GM, you're a GM for a reason.
Yeah.
You should probably know what Halifax is going to be getting for these two players and what Moncton's going to be paying for these two players. You should probably know if you're any sort of a GM. I'm not going to mention names, but it's probably a previous GM here in Moncton that would probably sell his house to acquire a fourth liner. So I'm not going to mention a name.
No.
But yeah, he'd probably sell his car and his house and probably his third child for a fourth line left winger. That's probably the only one exception to the rule. You're a GM for a reason, yeah. Right? You have mastered the price on players, And that's why you're in the position that you're in. So, yeah, I'm sure that they kind of have an idea of what it's going to be worth. I could tell you what it's probably going to be. I'm probably going to be wrong. but there's going to be multiple first-round picks, multiple second-round picks.
And two or three players.
As futures.
Yeah.
Not roster players, but futures.
Yeah.
And probably your third and, you know, third rounder in there too. Maybe a fourth and a fifth. I mean, a lot of picks. This is probably going to be a 7 or 8 piece.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And then get some of that stuff back in the draft.
But we're not going to be able to, like, that Moncton's 2021 first round pick. No way we're getting that back.
No.
That's likely going to be a lottery pick. And so Halifax will be laughing at that one. So don't know if that helps the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want Moncton's lottery pick given history.
Yeah. No, if it's Moncton's lottery pick, they'll win the lottery. Yeah,
to another team, they'll win the lottery.
Yeah. So, that's, that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
So you're probably looking at, I'll throw some numbers out here. I think we get two second rounders in 2020. I think we get three third rounders in 2020. We've got our first rounder in 2021, our first rounder in 2022. So I'm assuming all those pieces will be going to Halifax.
I hope you all wrote those down to see. My favorite question is, are we going to get rid of this player and this player? No, it's going to be futures. These are future deals. Like
there's if there's any, there's not going to be.
Roster players coming off. There's not top six, nine players. It's top bottom.
There could be a bottom, a fourth liner maybe, just as a throw in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention any names.
No.
I don't know anything. Not going to mention
but
any names.
But that would be the type as a fourth line throw in. You're not moving.
Just to kind of get rid of a body.
Yeah.
Just to ensure that they still get playing time. Yeah. Someone that's a valuable piece on your team this year. That if he stays in the team's probably going to be sitting in the stands for the rest of the season most of the time.
Yeah.
Move him to a team where he's going to get some ice time. In that case, that's just a throw in, right? It's probably going to be a 7 or 8 piece deal. It's to be determined if it's going to be separate. If it's going to be one trade is McIsaac, one trade is Benoit Olivier Grew, or it's just going to be a massive blockbuster. To be determined.
Yeah.
If it's a massive blockbuster, those are the ones I love. Because you can literally piece those apart.
Yeah.
Right.
And figure out which is which.
Because if there's nothing I love more than blockbuster deals. The Noah Dobson deal was a blockbuster deal. So those are, we're probably going to lose at least
six picks, two players.
Minimum six picks. Yeah. And then probably two players of the draft.
So. Oh, boy. Last one to you. I don't go on the St. John boards. Did your GM get on those and take trade questions, or is he going to? Or
I honestly haven't been on in a couple of days, so I'm not sure entirely. But I know he did something this season.
Yeah. And then he said he might do it again near the draft. So I just wonder if he is or.
I hope so. And I mean, the Sea Dogs are they're very woke. They're very, they know what the fans are thinking.
coach.
Yeah. I mean, they're not turning their laptops off in the TD station offices. Like they know what the fans are saying. And whether people are not, have their opinions about Trevor and his team, but like they listen and they know what the fans are thinking. So
has the team kind of turned a corner with Dixon, or is it a little too early to tell?
It's a little too early to tell. And I was talking to a few people about that the other day, and the Sea Dogs have definitely played a lot better over the past.
Because they've won three in a row now,
the past month. But at the same time, the Sea Dogs have had a pretty good schedule. I think in the second half, when they have a bad stretch, we'll see just where this team is at. Fortunately, they do have quite a few games left against Bathurst and Halifax, which will help offset some of those against Moncton. And they've had a really hard time against Charlottetown this season. They've had some success against Cape Breton, so we'll see what happens there.
It's one of those things where anytime a new coach comes in, there's that that new voice bump, and then and things kind of level out, but you don't want. But yeah, your schedule right after the break is, Bathurst, Moncton, Halifax, back to back, Charlottetown, Cape Breton. So,
yeah, and you know, I'm sure. Honestly, something that hasn't really been talked about. I think there's probably a little bit of concern about Nicholas Gay not being there. You look at way back in the Trevor Georgie era, the early days when they traded Olivier LeBlanc, who was their captain, to Cape Breton, then a deal that ended up being the Joe Valeno pick. The team really was impacted by losing their captain, and they were noticeably, obviously they're a little bit worse on the ice not having LeBlanc in the lineup, but the team looked a little rattled at times not having LeBlanc. It was a surprising trade, probably more surprising than the Gay trade, but I'm sure that's kind of in the back of the minds of the CEDAW staff, knowing that he's not going to be there and what that could impact.
They probably don't put another letter on a player, you wouldn't think, this year?
I think they will.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of an interesting question. I think.
Thanks.
do they give it to a veteran, or maybe you look at some of your younger guys who are going to be there next year? You know, like Poirier or Villeneuve, and you know, maybe you look ahead.
If you had to venture a guess, a second hot take on an episode, what would you do?
Oh boy, I think DeRocher, I think he has a shot. I think Deacon Poot has a shot. I think Villeneuve may get a look though.
Perfect. Yep. All right. Well, that'll end this Maritime Division Media Roundtable Trade Deadline Show. Thanks to everyone, Jordan Peckham, Pat McNeil, Brian McPherson, and Aiden Northcutt, and you, Jamie.
They for drive me.
Making the drive all the way into Wildcast Studios.
Yeah, long, treacherous drive. It's windy.
You survived. Your sweater game is on point.
Thank you.
That's a rocking sweater, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I can't wait to see this on TV, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're filming right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... You think they're lights, but they're not. Where can people find your excellent writing?
Google us, Station Nation. Yeah. You'll see all our links there.
Cool. All right. That'll do it for the Trade Deadline Show. Join us next week as Jeremy and I break down first half of the Cats, what to expect in the second half, because, oh boy, if you talk to us, it's going to be a heck of a second half. The fans should be on the bandwagon in the second half, I hope. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.